Welcome, welcome, welcome to Terrorvision Horror Podcast. Dan, what have you been doing?
So on the weekend, I was, my wife went out to the Harvest Rock Festival,
mm-hmm.
and I stayed at home alone.
Yep.
And I was like, I went to go plug, like, my phone in, I was saying to the thing, into a plug. And I didn't have shoes on, and I kicked this, leg of this table thing, and I was like, ah, ooh. You know, the one that I heard for ages.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's gonna hurt. I didn't bother to take my shoes off or anything. And then I was like, thought, oh, I'm going to watch Terrifier 2, finally.
Nice.
So I sat down and started watching Terrifier 2. And I got about a quarter of the way into it. I'm like, man, my foot's still hurting heaps. And so I, like, took my shoe off and looked at my toe, and it was just fucked. It was, like, purple and, like, broken one way. And I put it back together, and then I was just like, all right, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
I probably just strained it, because always you sprain it. And
well, there's nothing you can do about a broken toe.
Well, I didn't think anything of it. And then I was like, and it was still hurting. And then I started like, you know the saying, like, if you can wiggle it, if you can move it, it's not broken. You know that saying?
Yes.
So I like crunched my toes down, and my it was my middle toe. It just stayed up
I
was giving the finger.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, that's not good. And it like real hurt, and it felt like it was numb. Like I couldn't move it. So I just forgot about it and watched the rest of the movie. And the next day I showed my wife, and it was like worse looking. She's like, you should go to the doctor. And I'm like, nah. But I am taking my kid to the doctor today, so I'll just sneak that in at the end.
Just look at my toe, please.
And I did that, and she's like, that toe's broken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, what do I do? She goes, oh, you just tape it together. So I've just been taping it together. And that's it. That's all happened. Broke
Damn.
My toe.
There's
watching
not, yeah,
Terrifier.
There's not much you can do with a broken toe. Oh, man, that sucks.
That doesn't stop me from doing much.
No, of course not. Like, I haven't seen you hobbling around.
Yeah, you can't do anything
for
a broken toe.
So.
You just tape it to the other toes and you're like, for like 6 weeks and you're like, finished.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I've been doing lots of stuff. I finished my Invisaligns, finally.
Oh, nice.
I was sat there and dentist is like, oh, look, they're almost... They're perfect for visually, but from a dentist point of view, I think we could. And he's like, but you know,
yeah, they look great.
Well, they definitely look better than they did. And then, but he's like, oh, you know, so he's going through the process, and he's like,
can they relapse?
Oh yeah. So essentially, what is going to happen is I have to go back in like a week or so. He's going to put bars, like metal wiring on the back of my teeth so that they don't move. And then obviously I'll get a retainer. And then in the new year, I start to get some like veneer work done on them just cosmetically. But he's like, we could continue a little bit more, but you know, we get new scans done. But so you won't be finished until February. And I'm like, nah, I'm done. Like, I'm fucking done.
Check out.
Like, I'm over it. It was only meant to be 12
Express
months.
Check out.
Yep. It's been too long. So I'm so happy that, like, I only have to wear them at night until I get the bars put on. Oh, my God. Fucking great. But
good.
So that's what I've been doing.
I also bought the RoboCop game.
Yes. You were showing me before we sat down. I'm keen.
It's so RoboCop that you couldn't make any more of a RoboCop game. It is like, it has the feeling of like the first and second film. It like, all the actors are kind of in it. You know, every little nod to the film is in there, like little tiny like Easter eggs. Like Peter Weller does the voice.
Perfect.
And it's just RoboCop. It feels like RoboCop. You go around, it's like first person shooter.
Yep.
But like, it's like brutal. The guns like pack a punch. Like you're fighting punks that, you know, are dealing nuke. That's from the second one. Mm-hmm. There's this new guy in town. He's called the new guy. And it's in that kind of over the top world that RoboCop was in.
Yep.
But it just feels like a RoboCop. And you can do stuff like, you can just like do police work. You can just give tickets to people or like in between the missions, and you can go to the shooting range and you can upgrade RoboCop and all that stuff. And it just looks good. It's violent enough and it's simple enough for me to love it. It's only like 17 hours long, apparently.
Perfect. Yeah,
it's like a slower Doom.
Yeah, like, I was watching you play because that's the big thing. Is like I'm not good at games.
RoboCop's not agile, so you're just like doom, doom. Yeah. So you're like a tank. So a lot of it's not like getting out the way of cover. It's just like healing and taking dudes out as quick as possible before they shoot you. And this is good.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Shoot dudes in the balls and like explode their balls behind them. Like shoot their heads off. You can shoot their arms and they'll like save my fucking leg and they'll go to the ground.
Yeah.
And then even like they'll throw grenades at you and if like their bodies are in the way of the grenades, they will react to grenades. And it's just like,
is it an R-rated game?
Yep.
Yeah, I was gonna say because like RoboCop's
so R-rated.
Yeah, so when it first popped up, it was like classification yet to be determined, and I was like, okay, this has got to be an R-rated game.
Like RoboCop came out in the '80s. That's like 40 years ago.
Yes.
Like it's so irrelevant, yet it's so accurate.
But fans of it are like, you know, obviously fans of RoboCop are my age, getting closer to 40. So of course they're gonna like. You're so nostalgic for it. They're talented at making games. Of course they would.
Yeah, but like all the young people haven't got any attachment to it.
Who gives a shit about young people?
It's
all about us. Us elder millennials who want to play RoboCop.
I'm not a millennial.
No, you're not. I'm an elder millennial because I was born in literally the mid-80s. So I'm not Gen X and I'm not technically a millennial.
Hmm.
I'm like that loser in between.
Oh,
I'm okay with it.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. But yeah, I'm keen. Like, I'm going to go home and be like, Liz, can you download me RoboCop? And she will forget. And then I won't play it. But I will. I will play it. And I'm going to welcome everybody to episode 153 of Terrorvision Horror Podcast, our more relaxed fit episode. I am your host, Jennifer Strand. And joining me is my favorite limb collector, Dan McGinnis.
Hello.
Hello.
That's me. The guy that's been talking for the last 7 minutes.
Exactly. So today, coming off of our last episode, I thought we would talk about hotel horror.
Mm.
So I'm not going to say that it has to just be a hotel. I'm opening up to motels, inns, your bed and breakfast, your everything that is not your home where you are staying.
That reminds me, there was that movie we were going to watch called Dead and Breakfast, remember?
Yes, which we couldn't find, but apparently we can get it from Galactic Videos, so we might have to hire it and do an episode.
So that is not on our list because we just haven't
gotten to it yet,
but this is its honorable mention right now.
Right now. I do like a hotel horror. I do. One of my favorite lines in the movie 1408 was when John Cusack first arrives and he's like, you know, hotels are inherently creepy. I'm like, yeah, they are. Like, you imagine you get there, it's pretty quiet, no one's around, but you know that there's all these people around you.
Yeah, but you can't see them.
Are you familiar with the Clown Motel in America?
No. Is it only clowns go there?
Oh, no. Oh. So this is like a famous clown motel. It is haunted and it's literally full of clowns.
Whoa. Why is it a clown motel?
Because like, it's full of clowns. It's literally called Clown Motel. There are hundreds upon hundreds of clowns, like plush toys.
Is there more than one?
No, well, there might be, but there's one in America that is like, it is the clown motel. It's actually right next to a cemetery as well.
An Indian burial graveyard, what do they call them?
Quite possibly. But there's been a few different videos that I've watched with paranormal investigators and like the clowns, you know, setting up cameras and watching some of the clowns move and then people have different experiences. But it is a very sort of unsettling looking motel.
Have you seen some of the rooms?
I've seen some of the bad art of the
new Pennywise, like clowns. The Linda Blair.
Oh my god! Yeah, clowns room. Everywhere. It's terrifying. Looks awesome. I would 100% stay in that hotel. How about you? Would you stay in the clown motel?
If it was cheap. Clowns don't really bother me. It looks kind of ghastly.
Yeah, it does. It's very kitsch.
It's also like, it looks like it's in Nevada. So it's like in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
So it's just like a dusty old clown motel. It looks so weird. Does the person just love clowns? Or is it like, because it looks like it's horror clown based.
Yeah, no, I know there's like, I mean, look, there's lots of clown puppets and a lot of everything in there. So it's not 100% horror based. I think the rooms, they start to put that more horror vibe in there.
Because it like got more.
But yeah, it's very interesting. I like watching the videos from the Clown Motel. All right, well, let's jump into some of our picks.
Well, there's a movie of it and it's shot there. Look.
How did I not know about this Clown Motel
Clown Motel
movie?
2.
What? What? All right, I'm going to have to go home right now. We're not going to do the episode. I'm going to go home and watch some Clown Motel movies, 1 and 2, back to back, double feature.
Is it only a film and you think it's real?
No, it's real. The Clown Motel is real. It does exist.
This is coming soon.
Okay.
Who knows?
Who knows? Do you want to start us off with your first hotel horror?
I was going between two, but for my first one, I eventually chose this one, which isn't... I chose Basket Case.
Sure.
From 1982.
Is it set in a hotel?
It is.
Then it's a hotel horror.
He moves... Well, it's not about the hotel, though, but it is matter. Definitely set in a hotel. The story is you've got... I can't remember the dude's name. It's very... It's an 82 movie, but it's a 70s looking film.
Yes,
like, you
of
know,
course.
It's budget as shit. It's about a guy, a young guy who carries his basket around with him and he moves into this hotel to stay at. And everyone's like, if you watch the trailer, it's hilarious. Like, what's in the basket? What's in the basket? And he's like, my dirty clothes. What's in the basket?
Shut up. That's why. Why are you fucking asking me questions about my basket?
Well, what's in the basket? Nothing. Like, and it shows you all the times in the film they ask what's in the basket.
Yeah.
And of course, in the basket is his brother. I can't remember the guy. He has a funny name. It's like, what's his name? Can you look that up?
I'm gonna look it up. You continue.
It's like Blurg or something, or Groog, or like, you know,
Coog.
What is it? And he like his malformed brother, who is just a head with some arms attached to it, and all it does is yell. So whenever it's on screen, it's just yelling at the camera, and then it kills people. It's like Buol or something. What's his name?
I'm trying to find it.
Oh man,
keep going.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
And yeah, he's a bad actor. The film's rubbish. There's like 3 Basket Case films, but it's one of those films that's so out there and weird.
Well, yeah, because...
That it got like a cult following, because it is like...
Well, it's Frank Henenlotter, who did fucking Frankenhooker. So, yeah. you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, it has that kind of weird Frankenhooker vibe to it as well. You know, how the characters are all kind of like disjointed and kind of weird, kind of like a like bad taste or something like that. But, yeah, and the scenes are ridiculous.
Belial Bradley.
Yeah, Belial.
Belial.
Why would you name? And Belial. Yeah, so he keeps his brother in this basket and carries him around, and he gets angry and like Belial doesn't. He's not allowed to have like fun. He's not allowed to have a girlfriend because if he does, he just kills them all. And
yeah,
it's all about. And it's just yeah. And every time it's on screen, it just yells. It's just like, there's trailers up, you can just, like, people recut it. It's just all
it's
the time
the screaming.
He's yelling.
Yeah, I think I've posted up a couple of things here and there with, like, it's like, how's your Monday? Blah!
Yeah.
It's like, yes, of course.
But it is all set in a hotel and all the guests, like, become the victims and, you know, and that, you know, he's always hiding it from, like, the man. The man, the hotel man.
The hotel manager, yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all I got for that one.
Sure. All right, so my first one is I'm going with the 2003 Identity, which is directed by James Mangold.
Mangold.
Yep, he is man, he is gold.
I love gold.
So a group of strangers.
It's got John Cusack in it.
Yes, it does. John Cusack. Shit. This has got a really good cast. We've got John Cusack, Ray Liotta, Clea DuVall, Alfred Molina, and Dr. Cox, fucking Dr. Cox from Scrubs, John C. McGinley, and fucking Jake Busey. There's a Busey in it.
There's a Busey. Jake Busey, all the teeth.
All of the teeth.
He owns all of humanity's teeth.
All of
the
teeth.
In his mouth. Like, he, Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, Starship Troopers, such a good film.
I was talking the other day, and Braden hasn't seen it. Fuck and I was you. Like, haven't you seen Starship Troopers? That is like a commentary on the world.
Yeah. Like, how has he not watched that?
I don't know.
Brayden, I'm coming for you, mate. So anyway, Identity, it's like a group of strangers driving in a rainstorm, basically end up stranded at this remote desert motel, and then they find themselves being killed off one by one. So as the numbers begin to drop, they're trying to figure out who the killer is, but also why they're all there, because everything that happens brings them all together and then brings them to the motel. So like, for instance, like one of the characters, she's driving down the freeway and she's trying to find a lighter in the back seat, opens her bag, her clothes go flying. And then of course,
oh dear.
The next car with a family in it, they're driving along. They hit the stiletto, one of her stiletto shoes, goes into the car, does a blowout. They have to then. So it's like one thing after another.
Like a chain reaction.
Yeah, there's like a massive chain reaction that brings them all together and all into this motel. Now, while this is all happening as well, it is linked to the final night of a serial killer's life. So he's in the very next day, he's going to be executed.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying to figure out, like, so we are, as the audience, to assume that this person had come into the motel and was killing all these people off one by one and is about to be executed. That is all I'm going to say on it, because there is a pretty good twist in it.
Not a twist, like a story.
Yeah. So look, it's 2003. This film's 20 years old now. It's pretty good. It still holds up. I rewatched it recently just so I could talk better about it as well.
Is that Clea DeVoe? Is that the lady from Carnivale?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yep. She's also
thought of her in a while.
Yeah, she's in The Faculty as well.
Oh yeah, The Faculty.
Yep.
Why not?
Yes. She's also becoming quite a good director. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Identity, definitely one to check out. And I like the look of the motel as well. It's that standard, like, you know, box shape, all the rooms together, very much like Bates Motel.
Motel, we probably should say what the hotels look like. Yeah. My basket case one was just a block of flats in like some ghetto.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it was more of a crack house than a hotel kind of thing.
One of those ones where you walk into a door and there's a guy behind a screen, yep, and you just walk up the stairs.
And they rent by the hour as well.
They rent by the prostitutes, yeah.
So. Yeah, Identity is such a good film. I was really obsessed with this film back
in the day.
20 years ago, apparently. I just thought it was a really good thriller. And it still holds up. So definitely keep that one on your radar.
Oh, my second one is 2022's Barbarian.
Airbnb, it still counts.
Airbnb, it's all about it. And the reason I put it in is because there are so many bits in it that are about the house.
Mm.
There's that whole scene with, what's the fucking dude's name?
Justin Long.
Justin Long, when he goes and he realizes that, like, there's more to this house.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, seeing what's wrong with the house, what these extra bits, he's like, and starts measuring them up. And it's like, I think Ross was telling me, he thinks it was, like, the funniest moment that dude's ever been in film. Like, that bit of it. And then starts measuring, and he finds like more and more tunnels, and he's still measuring them out. He's trying to get money to sell it.
Because he finds the hidden door in the basement, which leads him to the room with the bed and the video camera, which looks like it's out of Saw. And he's not fazed by it. He just starts measuring up the room, and then finds the fucking tunnel that leads into like these catacombs.
And he's like,
still measuring them.
Like trying to get, because he's like a. He's like a fuckhead. Yeah. He's like an actor, I think.
He's a fuckhead actor that, you know, everything's going great for him, but he gets the call to basically say, like, allegations have come out against you.
You've been
like,
cancelled.
We're cancelling you, and your finances are in dire straits. So that's why he goes, because that's one of his rental properties. He's got properties throughout.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not the story. That's like the second part of the story. Yeah. And the first part of the story is someone's renting out his Airbnb, and someone has... Because he doesn't ever go there.
No.
It's in like the worst area.
Yeah, it's like Detroit, but the abandoned part of Detroit.
Yeah, the real bad. And so like someone's obviously, I'm not going to spoil it because it's too new. And it is like the whole point of it is like you don't know.
Yeah.
But it's heavily involved about Airbnbs.
Yeah.
And you know, And that bit we said is no spoiling of the film. Well, that's just a comedy bit.
The first like 10 minutes of this film is where it really sort of shows what kind of a film it is. But you know, it is that fear. Like you've rocked up, you're tired after driving so long, you just want to go to bed, and you rock up to where you're meant to be staying to find that there's someone else staying there. Like that in itself is a nightmare, because what do you do? Do you continue driving to your next destination? Do you call up? Do you stay with them? Becomes its own horror movie in itself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, rocking up to an Airbnb and there's already someone there. That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler, because that's the opening scene. Like, and it's just like, what do? Do you just stay there with them?
Yeah.
Because like, it's too hard to go anywhere else. Anyhow, it plays on a lot. It's a very modern horror. Like, as in, like, you know, it wouldn't happen. Like, the story, number one, Airbnbs are a thing of now.
Mm.
They're going to be a lot less soon once they're outlawing them, basically.
Oh, cool.
Because of the housing crisis stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's like, if you're, like, they're making a law, one of them is like, you have to stay there with the people. So it's just going to fuck it. Like, people aren't just
don't like people.
Yeah, but like, that's a way of them making them not want to do it.
Yeah.
I think if they stay there for over a certain amount of time, you have to stay there with them. So all these people and like, you have all these like B&B places. Anyhow.
Okay.
And like, you know, it heavily involves phones and stuff like that. And kind of a thing. But I'm not going to say what happens in it. It does have some very creepy moments.
Yeah. And it's streaming on fucking Disney of all places.
Yeah, that's so where just, I saw it. I saw it on my Disney Plus and I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Had a nice red background. You like a nice bold red.
And yes, it's true. And like, me and my wife watched it and I kind of in the back of my mind knew that she like might not like it, but she did not like it, but she also refused to stop watching it. She had to know what was going to happen. So it's one of those films like it is like, oh, so many questions.
So the film did exactly what it set out to do
for
the audience member. It
kept you there. Like, but at the end she was like, gah.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a good one to mention, the old Airbnb, and it is so, and it's just, as I said, it's a shitty old house, but they find extra rooms in it. What happens when you do that?
Yeah.
When you're in an Airbnb.
Jesus. All right, so the next one on my list is The Beyond, which is 1981, directed by Lucio Fulci. So a young woman inherits an old hotel in Louisiana where a bunch of supernatural accidents start occurring.
The Beyond.
And she learns that the building was built over one of the entrances to hell.
Just one of them?
Just one. There's seven. Seven in total.
Is this the 81 film?
1981, Lucio Fulci. So what I like about Fulci's work is the practical effects and the gore that he uses in this. So there are sequences with zombies, I would probably call them.
Isn't that all he does is zombie films?
He's very good at doing zombie films.
Yeah.
He does other stuff as well, but he's very good at his zombie films. So, you know, we get eye gouging scenes in this. We get like grotesque sort of pus and visceral kind of melting. There's a lot of melting and burning in this as well, which I absolutely love. But yeah, so all of this is like, you've inherited this hotel, you're coming in, you wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, yeah, gonna be the best hotel, and all the holy shit, we're on a fucking gates of hell and everyone's dying and becoming zombies.
We're on the gates of hell.
So, well, yeah, I like that. That's what I like in a film. Like, it sort of takes you in that different area, something that you're not used to.
It's 81.
Yeah.
Same year. I think, is it, wait up. Is that the same year as my one? Oh, Basket Case was made in 82.
Yeah.
It looks vastly shitter, Basket Case, in this film. I'm looking at the trailer now. This film looks like a real film. Basket Case does not.
No. This is a real film. It's Fulci.
No, but I mean like the camera work and that looks like a real film, where Basket Case looks like something.
Yeah. I haven't watched this one in a while, so I don't have too much more, because like there's more to it than that, like, because we get this secondary character, Emily, who is like a clairvoyant. So she's got some kind of attachment, but honestly, I can't 100% remember that aspect of it. It does look really cool throughout. And like I say, we get a lot of really good gore sequences.
People getting nailed to walls and stuff, crucified. And
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of gore.
Yeah. Well,
even in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, it's Italian horror, so, you know, they don't really hold bars. They're just like, whatever you want to do. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Go for it, matey.
Go for it. Loved it. All right. What's your next one?
My next one, when I find it, is, well, I got to admit, I didn't have much on my plate for hotel horrors, as you can tell by my first two. But so I nestled in with the classics.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one is Psycho.
Yep.
1960.
Yep.
The Motel Bates. It's, what does it look like? It's a motel.
Yeah.
Those ones where they're in an L shape, is it?
Mm-hmm.
The L shape, and you park out the front and you walk straight into your, kind of thing. That's the hotel.
Yeah.
Part of it. And the other part is the whole film.
Yeah.
Which is, do we have to talk about Psycho? We probably do. We've done it as an episode. I mean,
we've done it as an episode, but, you know, and it's the same story for a lot of these. So films that aren't set in, like, 1408 is obviously set in a hotel.
Okay, I would have put 1408 in my list, but we did it as an episode. To me, that's, it's way better than Basket Case.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to put Basket Case on there because it's so shit and great.
We have to do it as an episode soon. But yeah, like, the idea for a lot of these motels is that, you know, they move the highway away. And that's the big thing about Psycho, is it's pretty much abandoned. People don't come by because they've moved the highway. So there's no need for people to stop on their travels to the next town.
Stop a log.
And rest, like, because they don't have to. So the fact that, you know, Marion Crane, she comes along this place just kind of luckily, which means that, you know, she's met Norman, who is by himself. He's going a little bit batty, because he has no one around him to pass the time, and this while he's taking care of this fucking motel.
Yeah, and it uses the motel a lot as well. You got like the peepholes and the walls, and
he knows that hotel inside and out, so he can.
And you have the cop rocking up to the hotel, and most of it is set at the hotel as well.
Yeah.
In the rooms or in the office, the little office, and a little bit in the house, but at the end. But
and even moving into the sequels of it, like focusing more on, so like the second one where he's released from the institution, he comes back and he's like trying to fix it up again and make it what it was, because it used to be a really good hotel in his mind, and, you know, just going from there. Like, I like the people.
Psycho for what it did as well. Alfred Hitchcock, like, you know, the shower scene, like people seeing a toilet for the flush for the first time on cinema. Woo!
Yeah.
He just should have had like an hour of different toilets flushing. It would have been visionary.
And the people would have been disgusted and appalled as well. Yeah. So he still would have done the same thing.
And and then, like, obviously, you know, the shower scene, which is so synonymous with all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
And what's that guy's name in it? The guy that's like the meathead guy that kind of helps out.
I want to say it's something like Pendleton, but it's not. Yeah. It's something very similar.
Yeah, it did for like horror cinema. It, you know, it went gangbusters kind of thing, which a lot of Alfred Hitchcock stuff does kind of thing. And yeah, that's it. That's all I'm excited about.
You still don't want to walk into any kind of room that has one of the shower curtains.
I'm fine with that.
You want a clear glass panel where no one can stab you.
Where everyone can see you.
Yeah. I don't like that.
What do you got next? This is going to be a short episode because, like, I got nothing to say about a lot of these films.
No, that's all right. So the next one on my list is The City of the Dead. This is also released in 1960 and directed by John Llewellyn Moxie. This one, so a young college student arrives in a sleepy Massachusetts town to research witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
During her stay at the Erie Inn, she discovers a startling secret about the town and its inhabitants.
The full movie's on YouTube.
The full movie is on YouTube. It is also on Tubi. You can watch it anywhere. It stars Christopher Lee as well.
Christopher Lee. Actually, yes. It's twice on YouTube here. Like. Two people got it up.
Yes. It's a really good film, actually. So essentially the film starts off in, like, you know, witchcraft times, so the 1600s.
Black and white.
And then a woman is burned at the stake. She obviously
is a witch.
She's a witch. She's like, "My Satan, I love you. Please save me and I will do your bidding for
him." Does she say that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So she is a witch.
Because she is a witch.
And Christopher Lee is very young in this. He doesn't have a beard or a moustache.
No, he's not in a heavy metal band yet.
Or a heavy death, what is it? A death metal Christmas band.
Yeah, he's not in that yet. He's just living his best Christopher Lee life. I think this is also before, like, Hammer, before he really gets into Hammer and all that. So this young, naive university student of Christopher Lee's, she's very interested in his history lessons on witchcraft and all of that kind of thing. And she decides that she wants to do her term paper on this particular little town that he was talking about. And he's like, "Oh, well, it's this town and I know the way there. And if you go stay there and go stay at the inn where the woman knows me, just mention my name, it'll be fine." And of course, it's very much like Psycho, in which she does. She goes to the inn. She meets the innkeeper, who is the witch.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then this young girl disappears. And then her brother and family come.
To find her.
To find her.
Pretty much Psycho.
Pretty much Psycho. Except this town is so eerie. It does not move around too much. It's very liminal. It's very in the one spot. But every time anyone leaves the inn and walks around town, it's the same people walking through, the same people stop in the exact spot, the exact same people stare at you the whole time. And it just becomes very sort of sinister and eerie and creepy, but it's also ridiculously 60s.
Yeah, and all the men are like in suits.
Yes. Like, and I love what I love about 60s horror films as well is they have soundtracks that are just so out of place. Yes. So yeah, like
they don't know what to put there. Yeah. They're like,
So it just becomes like this really nice like clarinet music, like jazz music over the top of like some killing, horrendous. This film, like I really, really like this film. Like I 100% recommend checking this out if no one has.
If no one has.
If you haven't, go watch it on fucking YouTube. It's free.
Oh, well, all right. My next one is the granddaddy of hotel films, The Shining.
Yep.
Kubrick. Yeah, it is, yep. Kubrick. Yeah.
What can you say about it?
Oh, I can talk a lot about it. I do like it. It's like
one of my favorite films.
Yeah, I do like it. I like the and I would mention every time, I like the Shining Redux trailer recut, where it's like a comedy, they make it into a romantic comedy. Romantic comedy. So check that out. If you just write Shining Redux trailer into YouTube, if you want a good laugh, where Jack just can't finish his book. It's got like Peter Gabriel in the music as well. It's Salisbury Hill or whatever. Anyway, The Shining, like set around the hotel, is the main character.
Yeah.
Like, every part of it.
And it's such a nice hotel as well. Like, it's really, it's like in the mountains. It's exactly where you would want to be. It's where you'd want to be if you were writing a book, a horror book.
Yeah, because Jack can't finish his book. It has, like, you know, iconic scenes. It's got, like, the elevator. It's got the kid going down the hole in the tricycle. It has kissing the gross lady in the bathroom. Oh, most of it is, like, iconic, actually. Like the fucking
everything about it's iconic.
The axe in the door bit and the face in the door saying the line and
the axe in the door.
Saying the line. The typing, you know, what is it? The
typewriter.
Yeah, but what does he say? It's like the all work
and no play like, makes Jack Del Boy.
Yeah. You know, if you've been homaged in The Simpsons, you've made it.
That's right. 100%.
And, everything about this film is, like, deluxe. Like, coming from, like, a craft point of view, I mean, Kubrick does that thing where he takes, you know, 300 takes and shit like that. And I imagine it'd be ghastly to be on his set.
Yeah, well, fucking look at Shelley Duvall. Look what happened to her out of it. Like, that's just some fucked up shit right there.
I don't know what happened to her.
Well, because Shelley Duvall, she got nominated for a Razzie. For that, her performances.
In that?
Yep. And then she didn't do too much acting afterwards and she's had a bit of a poo life. She's starting to make a comeback now, though, because he tormented her on the set. Like, he instructed people not to interact with her. He, like, would abuse her. He would get in her face. He would yell at her. He's trying, he's like, no, bigger, more.
Was he trying to make her upset, to make her look?
Yeah, he wanted more of a reaction. So a lot of the hysteria that she has when you watch the film and you're like, oh, man, she's fucking chewing the scenery. No, she's hysterical. She's not having a good time.
I never got bad acting from her when I watched it.
I mean, there's a couple of sequences where I'm like, oh. But most, like, when she's really, like, crying and not having the best of times, like, yeah, it's pretty damn fucking realistic.
Well, yeah, Kubrick's not known for his making. Like, I mean, he's known for his craft is good, but him as himself, you hear a lot of bad things.
Yes.
It's the idea of, like, filming 300 takes of stuff of, like, simple things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't understand how it could be different in each take.
No.
Like, little things. But in the end, he did get a film pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, nearly perfect, in my opinion, for a horror film. Like, a psychological horror film.
Well, it's one of the best locations to really sort of centralize the demise of sanity. Yeah, the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, and I assume it's a real hotel.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is it still there?
It is still there. You can stay there.
Does it have a hedge maze?
I don't know if it does have a hedge maze that was put in. Or not. Because it was like...
It does have that bit in it, though, in The Shining, where it's just that guy comes all the way there and gets killed instantly. And I'm like, yeah, the story with Danny and his relationship with The Shining, and I never quite understood that. Like... Mm. I get it now watching Dr. Sleep.
Yep.
Which I really enjoyed as well.
Yes, you did.
I was surprised I liked it.
Mm.
And that bit kind of like fell flat for me.
Yep.
Those bits. Like it was like there was a scene missing that made all that make sense. Well, or not make sense, but like relevant.
That's the thing. So the book and the movie are vastly different. King notably disliked it, and then he went back and he actually wrote the screenplay, and I think Mick Garris directed the 95 telemovie, which goes deeper into it and is more,
it wouldn't have looked as good, or it probably made more sense.
It's not like as good. I still enjoy it. It's like a guilty watch.
The telemovie.
Yeah,
it's like the Tommyknockers.
Yeah. But it's certainly...
Or any telly bit, like Stephen King. The Langoliers.
Yes.
The one with, like, eating the world. He has heaps of telly movie ones.
Yeah. Well, they were really big in the 90s.
Yeah, because they were long. And they were too long to be films. Three hours.
You could cut it up.
Now, like, you can just, like, do a four-hour film if you want.
Yeah, fucking stop doing four-hour films. Give me a 90-minute movie, goddammit. I'm going to yell about that until the day I die. But, yeah, like, I mean, the hotel is just so vastly big that... You know, are you going insane, or is there actually people there? Because, you know, that's kind of the vibe that it gives off. Like, is it haunted, or is people just not left? Because something that big, you can't control. No, they say it's empty, though. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you can't control something like that.
Like the bar staff are there when he has the bar conversations. And...
Yeah. I love The Shining. It is such a, it's like one of my comfort films.
Yeah, you can put it on. If I'm feeling a
bit
down, or
if I'm feeling a bit like...
The soundtrack's rad, so a lot of it is just like atmospheric, like... Yeah. And the opening with like the POV, like the, you know, the helicopter shots and stuff, which would have been like really good for 1980. That's not that long ago.
Well, even then, like having such a big space...
It feels like it's an older film than 80 to me.
Mm, it does, doesn't it?
What else came out in like 1980? 1980 films.
Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
E.T.
Blue Lagoon.
Fucking Blue Lagoon.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, okay.
Friday the 13th.
Yep.
Airplane. Or as we call it, Flying High here in Australia.
Yep.
Caddyshack. Okay.
Well, I guess it all depends
The Elephant Man.
Oh.
The Elephant Man was one of those films that scared me forever.
Yeah.
Like the idea of it, like, because it was real and it was a real person. And I always remember I saw the cover was always at our video shop, and then I saw it one day and like it was like weird and sad and I didn't like it, and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like he freaked me out for a long time.
Yeah.
I think like Michael Jackson bought his corpse.
What?
Yeah, I think Michael Jackson bought the Elephant Man's corpse.
Why?
I don't know. Did
Why?
Michael oh my Jackson God. Buy Eminem? by the Elephant Man. It came up as Michael Jackson was obsessed with the Elephant Man and tried to buy his bones, but was lost at an outbid by a doctor who returned them to the hospital.
Okay.
In 1993, interview with Oprah Winfrey, Jackson denies the claims and says, "I love the story of the Elephant Man. Wow. The fact he gelled with that story about like.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. Whoops.
Michael Jackson. That's ignorant.
But yeah, bit of a trivia for you.
Yeah, I love some trivia like that. Fucking Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah, that dude.
Interesting. Well, I mean, yeah, look, The Shining, it is the ultimate hotel horror film. There are a lot of them. My last one, I've gone with 2011, The Innkeepers. Now, I watched this last night because I hadn't watched it in a while, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's about time. I was due for a rewatch, and I wanted to talk about it.
Due for a rewatch.
And fuck me, because Ty West, he's done X, he's done Pearl. So Ty West is, like, big right now. But in 2011, he did The Innkeepers, and fuck is this movie slow. So basically, it is the last two staff members in the final days of this inn, and they believe that the hotel is haunted. And before they leave, like, this is the last weekend that they're open, they are going to do an investigation. They are going to find proof. They're going to make contact with the spirits and whatnot. And then not a lot of fucking shit happens until the closer to the very end of the film. And this film is also R-rated, but there is nothing in it that means, like, there's no gore. We get nothing really out of it.
No gore.
Grumpy about it. But, I mean, we get, like, secondary characters, like Kelly McGinnis. She's in it. She plays, like, a psychic who comes through and is like, oh, there's some spiritual energy here and you just need to tap into it. You know, a lot of people just come to the hotel because they're drawn here. They don't know why. And, you know, we get a couple of guests checking in over the day and the night and the weekend, and they're there for whatever reason they're there for, but they're all drawn there for a specific reason. If this film was just a slow burning kind of like investigation where, like Paranormal Activity, where I'm looking around, I'm constantly looking around trying to find something, and oh yeah, okay, look, like that thing over there just moved, not a problem. Nothing happens.
It's on your list of like the ones you like. Is it because you couldn't put 1408 on the list?
No, it's because I couldn't think of the other film. Like immediately, like this morning, I'm like, oh, I could have just said Hostel, or I could have done this, or I could have done that. But I was determined because I wanted to rewatch it because it's Ty West,
and then you rewatched it, and you're like, well, I watched that. It's going on
the
list.
Well, I'm just going to complain about it, like.
It could have gone on the dishonorable mentions.
It could have gone on dishonorable mentions. Like, I'm sure other people have gotten more out of it. It's like there are two sides to the coin. People either really like this film and think it's genius, or they're like, wet fart.
My other one, so the one I put Basket Case, the one I kicked out, I was going to do The Witches from 1990. It's all set in the hotel. It is definitely a gateway horror. It is definitely like some scenes in that are way too scary for kids.
Mm.
It like, yeah, and in traditional Roald Dahl, you know, the kids don't. Wait, is it that one? Because they remade it recently as well. I get it confused. Because in the original Roald Dahl story, he gets turned into a mouse and he never turns back and he just dies. Because like.
Couldn't tell you, I've never read the book.
Well, yeah, like. Well, they don't, like, live for very long, mice.
No.
So he gets turned into a mouse and then just, that's it.
Mm. See, I just remember
and
them,
and
like,
one of them he gets changed back, I think. I can't remember which film.
Yep.
Maybe it's this one. But anyway, 1990, the idea of the witches are gross. They've got no toes.
Yeah.
So they've got, like, the square feet. They've got, like.
I just remember them, like, stomping on all the mice and all the mice kind of exploding. Like, I haven't watched this movie in years.
Yeah. And then, You know, they wear like wigs, so they're always itching their head because they don't have any hair.
Yeah.
And just all these like little like Roald Dahl-esque kind of like things, which is just basically taking bits of old people that kids don't like and running with that. Like,
Well, that's it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense to do that. So,
and like the idea, they're like a sect, like a cult, remember? Mm. And then they've got like the.
Yeah, they're like a coven.
Yeah. But like they've organized like to have like the hotel room, you know, like it's, but they're hiding it as like a convention or something.
Yes.
Or,
yeah, it's like a convention of like the old biddy society getting together to do something, but they're witches.
Yeah, and it was just a different take on witches.
Hmm.
Like, because they're not witches, like as in the witches
that
at the time that everyone would have thought. They're like, he like reinvented them to have these other traits.
Yeah.
There were other things as well. I can't remember what they were. Because you had that Quentin Blake drawings for them in the book. It was just like. Yeah, it's so burnt into my head. Like the
Oh,
they wear like always wear gloves or something because they've got like something fucked up with their hands.
Yeah.
Something.
Okay.
Anyhow, they yeah, and I thought that was the other one, but I wanted to talk about Basket Case. I suppose I could have just put it in the mentions because I talked about witches anyway.
That's easy. Well, yeah. I mean, I've already mentioned Hostel, which I thought like you know, I mean, it came out around the time like 2005-ish, so it came out around the time that there was like it was like the post 9/11 torture porn kind of film was there. But for me, the concept of the film is really good. I think a lot of people sort of don't get into it because it is very gratuitously violent. But the idea of traveling...
It's like Saw.
Yeah.
Like people don't like the Saw films, but if you watch them, you're like, the first couple are great.
Yes. Yeah. So like this one, you know, two American guys, they're in like Yugoslavia or somewhere where it's not 100% safe to be, and they stay in a hostel and with the promise of like partying and women and this and that and the other, but this hostel basically sells the guests off to the highest bidder, that the bidder can then come in and torture and murder, and then the hostel are like, oh no, we've never seen this person, or this person went home, like I'm so sorry. I think like they say like that.
Which wouldn't work in this day and age where there's cameras everywhere.
No. I mean, in those countries, maybe it might still work. I don't know. You
Google Earth it probably and they'll see the people walking in.
But I love the concept of this
film. There's no people in Google Earth.
Because, you know, a hostel is very communal. It's very, you know, you might be sharing a room. You're definitely sharing a bathroom. I hate that idea. But yeah, so that to me sort of gave that film just that little bit more, not scare to it, but just made it a little bit better for me.
I'm just writing weird things on Google Earth. There's some heaps funny stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's boring. Yeah, I think this is more of a thing you have to watch whole YouTube videos for.
Oh, sure. Moving in, there's also Motel Hell, which I think we discussed a couple of episodes ago. I haven't had a rewatch since, so I don't really want to talk too much about it. But it's like a brother and sister who have their own motel and the guests come in, the guests check in, but they don't check out, that kind of deal. Another one, Eaten Alive, which I've talked about a couple of times. I really like this film. It's one of those very sort of Americana kind of hotels, so it's off the side of the highway, off the beaten track, and it's more of a roadside attraction. So at this motel, there's also like a gators, there's monkeys,
gators.
There's things to draw the crowd in, and then hopefully the crowd are too tired to go home because they've had so much fun, and then they stay the night.
What other? Did you say American Horror Story?
No. So
American Horror Story Hotel.
So this one is more, I liked this one. I don't think I finished it. I don't think I ever finish
The problem with American Horror Stories is that I just don't think they're horror stories.
They start really strong and then they just kind of like.
They're always like drama. They're just like dramas set in a horror place, but they never really goes to the horror. Like I watched the first season and I was like, it's just ghosts with problems. I'm like, it's just gonna be fucked.
Yeah. But
my wife
like
really
this
liked
one.
The Asylum one. She said that was good.
Yeah, the Asylum
and
was
I like
good.
That they use the same people, the actors and stuff. Yes. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, well, that's what Mike Flanagan tends to do with all of his stuff as well. But the Horror Story Hotel one was very much sort of homaging the Cecil Hotel in America, which has had like a very vast history of death and weird shit happening. Like, there's the...
It's not a murderer. It's ghosts.
It's
just people ghosts. Live next door and like, sick, we just keep murdering people, leaving them in the hotel, and they just think they're ghosts.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just ghosts. So the Cecil Hotel has its own sordid history, and this is what this is kind of loosely based on, which I think is really cool as well.
Mm. You got Vacancy? Did you talk about that one?
I've not seen Vacancy.
Vacancy's just like...
That's like...
People that move in and then
Kate
like...
Kate Beckinsale and...
Yeah, and like it's all camera'd up, the hotel, and then like it ends up like they're just basically, it's snuff videos.
Oh, okay. Oof. Yeah, right. I like a snuff video.
You like a snuff video?
I love a snuff video.
Why not?
Some Shocking Asia, some Faces of Death.
Oh, man. I don't like any of them. Shocking Asias. I forgot about them. Like, and their covers with just like corpses on them and people floating down dead. So it was just, that was just basically... Yeah, they're snuff films, aren't they? Because they're just like footage of real deaths and stuff.
Pretty much. I was gifted some recently on VHS, and now I'm very excited because they're
like
in my collection.
There's like a Jello by Afro Lion. He's in one of his songs, which is when he's in Lard, and he's like, "I went down to Blockhead Video because I wanted to rent a video of people making love." He goes, like, "There ain't no love in here. This is a family store. See here." He goes, "So I settled for Faces of Death, but they'd rented it to some kid." Like, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Can't have sex, but you can have like...
But you can have as much violence as you want. Followed is a 2018 film that has piqued my interest because that is, I think it's very similar to the story of Eliza Lamb. Who was, if you've ever seen the video, she's this girl who she had mental health issues. She was videoed walking into a elevator.
Is that that weird
She
footage?
Acts really funny. She's looking out. She's looking around. Yeah. She's like trying to hide in this elevator and then she disappears and they find her like in the water tank. So I'm pretty certain this movie Followed is kind of...
Is that what happened in real life?
Yeah,
I've seen that video of her in like, we've done the YouTube, like rabbit hole of like creepy unexplained like
I love that shit.
Footage like the what are they called like surveillance footage and stuff like that. Yeah, we did that one night with the boys in the room, just watched them all and like scaring ourselves and some of them were shit.
Yeah,
some of them like that's clearly not real.
I've gone down the CCTV.
This is like there's someone in the window. I'm like, yeah. People can be in windows.
It's not a crime. I mean, it could be. Not always. Yeah, I've gone down this rabbit hole on YouTube about in investigations and interview rooms in police stations. So a lot of people who like...
Just disappear out of them?
No. People who are sitting, like have been brought in for whatever reason and it's them basically confessing to murders or shit and it's like fucked up.
And they're like, "You just had a parking ticket, mate."
Yeah, it's like, well, there's this one guy, and this video goes, this guy was in...
It's like confession. They're using it.
Yeah. He was in for 7 hours, and he was so narcissistic that he ended up... Like, he was in there because his son had died, was crushed under a car.
Oh.
And it, like, he was in there and thought he was so fucking smart that they ended up pinning that on him, but also... the death of his, like, a bunch of other crimes over, like, a 20-year period.
And you just watch the footage of
it.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of those kind of videos for a while as well. Like, people, like, or just, like, real footage of when they catch out murderers and stuff like that.
And they don't realise they're being filmed either.
And the change of their... Yeah, and they leave the room because they watch you when you leave the room and your body language and everything. This is like a weird psychiatrist YouTube channel where they talk about it. They're like, "See, he's changed his like persona here. He's doing that. He's doing that." And
they're doing mirroring. They're like
super interesting like stuff to watch. And yeah, I went down that rabbit hole as well because why not?
Yeah, why not? Indeed. Like, what else am I doing? I'm already depressed. Let's make it worse, kind of thing.
But yeah, it's great. So good. The videos where people like realize they're not getting away with it, like they're the best parts.
Yeah.
And then
see the cogs turning. It's like, well, I can either keep up this charade of lies or I can just admit it. So, like, even one girl I was watching, she, like, stabbed her mother 27 times in the face and was claiming that she wasn't who – she was just some innocent girl. And they've – oh, I can see the similarities in our pictures, but I'm not her. Like, you've got the wrong person. All the way up until she was arrested.
Smug as shit, yeah.
Smug as fucking shit. And in the end, she didn't get convicted. Like, she had to spend the rest of her life in a mental institution because she had schizophrenia. So – It's very fascinating to watch. But
yeah, the ones I was watching were like I first got into it, like to see school shooters, school shooters that were claiming to be like the crazy, you know, to get out on that card, like the insanity thing, and like how they get like work it out that they're not crazy, like basically. So, and yeah, that was real interesting because like they do like these. The police and the psychiatrists do like psychological warfare basically on them. Yeah. They set them up and do certain things and turn the heat up in the room and like just all this stuff and then watch them when they leave to see how they change their, or the ones where like that he says he can see like demons everywhere and like he just stopped doing it when they left the room and shit like that.
As well,
it's great, and it's great to see the moments when they're like, we know because of these reasons, and they tell them.
Because at any point as well, these people can stop talking and say, lawyer.
Yeah.
Get me a lawyer. And they don't because they think they're so smart that they, and they also forget and they just talk.
Yeah, they forget
what
they said.
And then they just talk around in a circle until they get caught. And that has nothing to do with hotel horror, but it's still fucking fascinating.
Yeah, we're allowed to say whatever we want. It's our podcast.
Hey, you come for the horror, you stay for the tangents. Am I right? Am I right? I'm right.
All right. And that is the end of this episode. Before we sign off, I'd just like to say thank you for the listeners who have been interacting with us one way or another over the past fortnight. So people like the Nether News, the Palace Nova. Well, these are things we just like now, some of these. Palace Nova Cinema and Bonfire Club, which we are one of the sponsors. And the other sponsors are Underground Records, Vicious Video, Galactic Video, and Greenlight Comics. So that's something. Go buy some comics.
There's
in
some
my
pretty
shop.
Good comics out lately.
Oh, there is some good.
I need to come in for a couple.
If you're into horror, there's some good horrors.
Yeah.
Horrors. It's Vicious Video DX. That's what he calls horror. Horrors. Horrors. Other people like Chris Franks, William, Ian Westwood, Robert Thomas, Tsunami Hijar, Adam Gillespie, Patrick Roberts, our mums.
Always the mums. Shout out to mums.
Dion. Bryn.
Bryn. Love Bryn.
Bit of Bryn.
Everybody loves
avid
Bryn.
Avid listener.
There's not a person in Adelaide that doesn't know who Bryn is.
There is. Yeah. So you've been listening to our podcast. Oh, you made me lose track.
I'm so sorry.
Doesn't matter. As I said, the only people listening now are the people stuck in the car. They can't turn us off.
That's true. Go like us on Facebook and Instagram at Terrorvision Pod. Make sure you tell your friends and we'll see you at home.
Or buy a t-shirt from a big cartel. Bye, Mark.
Bye.